You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's the Rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right, we talked a lot about Denver closing out the Lakers last night on both sides. How impressed we were by Denver, particularly Michael Porter Jr. Knows Jamal Murray that was finishing him off last night. And, you know, Lakers facing a lot of questions. In terms of Darvin Ham, you know, D'Angelo Russell, whether or not he's coming back. What we didn't talk as much about with the other two games last night, obviously the Boston Celtics took care of business 102-88, but the big news coming out of that game, besides the fact that they've taken control of that series for the most part, is the fact that Kristaps Porzingis tweaked his right calf late in the second quarter, limped off the court, didn't come back. And the Celtics ruled him doubtful to return, but it was obvious when he went back to the locker room he wasn't going to be. It seemed pretty obvious at that point he wasn't going to be returning. Not to mention, I mean, the Celtics were controlling the game for the most part. Joe Mazzulla, head coach, no update on Porzingis other than to say it's tightness. And then we mentioned what was sort of a freak deal, but it could have been much more at the end of that game when Adebayo's foot was down and Jason Tatum shooting basically a jumper that didn't matter. It was after a foul call had already happened, came down and turned his left ankle on Adebayo's foot. Now, Adebayo was complaining that Tatum was flopping, but he had come down on a shot. And it's just like, again, even if the foul's been called, you know, the question was, well, can they call a flagrant after a foul's already been called in a separate situation? Again, if Adebayo had gone and clubbed him over the head, right, to keep him from shooting the practice shot, you'd have had to do something. Sure. And so, again, in this situation, you could have – I mean, we already got the Porzingis question for the rest of the series and, more importantly, for the rest of the playoffs, but you could have seriously hurt Jason Tatum with that move. And so I thought, you know, Stan Van Gundy and those guys, I thought they were wrong last night in the whole what was Adebayo supposed to do? This shouldn't be a flagrant. It was clearly a flagrant. Adebayo did not mean to drop that foot underneath Jason Tatum, I don't believe, but it was clearly a play that could have affected Jason Tatum, the Celtics' chances the rest of the way. So you had to call something. Back to the point, he looked fine. He was able to walk it off. Looked like he's going to be just fine. But that Porzingis question, he missed 7 games because of a calf issue in November, December. So it could be, you know, a little bit of a recurring deal here. Again, I don't think it'll matter at all for the rest of the series. That point, you could probably rest him and maybe that helps you. But in terms of winning a championship, you go up against a Denver, you're going to need a Porzingis. We mentioned Derek White was fantastic. One of the best games, if not the best game of his career, new playoff career high for him. 38 points, was hitting everything, and playing both ends. That's what's so impressive about Derek White. He probably doesn't get enough credit for how much of a force he is for that Boston team. There are times, again, where, you know, and I've complained about it, but it's really a credit to Boston and its depth, where it just seems like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are on cruise control because they're letting Derek White take over the game. He's shown that, you know, in certain moments he is capable of that. Very impressive last night for him. That mark is the second most without a free throw attempt in NBA playoff history, by the way.
Wow.
How about that? He did. Without a free, White finished with a career-high 38 points, a playoff career-high.
No
free
throws.
And it's the second most without a free throw attempt in NBA playoff history. Chuck Person for the Pacers had 39 against the Celtics back in 91.
I guess it's he's just not driving the bucket. He's shooting everything.
Typically, he is pull-up Jays. Yeah. He gets a lot of, you know, hustle plays, offensive rebounds, putbacks. Like, he was talking about in the post-game interview afterwards that he got, he just tries to be a dog out there.
Yeah, he's just and getting do it.
But last night, it was much more than that. It was skill. It was everything. Knocking down the three. It was doing everything. And then over in the other game, we didn't talk that much about the Thunder because, I mean, it's over. They take care of the Pelicans 4-0, and you figured it was going that way once you knew that Zion Williamson was not going to be available for these playoffs. You got 24 from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, speaking of injury. Also got 24 as well from Williams, and so who's been really good.
Yeah.
And have you seen the stuff he's wearing?
I have not.
By
is
any
this,
chance?
No.
Dude.
I haven't paid as much attention to the Thunder. That's why my bets have been off on that series.
I mean, I'm going to finish the. You might want to pull up, though, some of Jalen Williams' like clothes.
Jalen Williams.
Dude, he's kind of spacey. He had on like a helmet.
Did he come as Darth Vader yesterday?
Yeah, it was a helmet.
I did see that on TNT.
I don't know if it was an actual Darth Vader helmet, but that is what it reminded you of.
No, I think it was like
And I want to say the game before, he had a whole thing covering his whole head, and it closed it off in the front to where you could only see his eyes and his mouth.
Jalen Williams arrives. I did see this, Jason. I'm sorry I missed it. I forgot I did see it.
In terms of most noteworthy thing to come out of this series, besides how good he's been on the floor,
it works,
his fashion sense. It's way off. He's getting blasted by Charles and by Shaq every night. He might want to let up, but I figure at this point he's gotten so much attention off of it that he's probably going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
As for OKC, it's their first time winning a playoff series since Kevin Durant left, obviously, back in 2016. Here's my deal. I know they're the one seed.
Mm.
I know, and somebody tell Reggie Miller that it's Chet Holmgren, not Holmgren.
Does he say Holmgren?
Yeah, I don't know if he got it corrected this last time out, but a couple of games ago, he said it the whole game.
And
it was such a disservice because
someone would clearly have a conversation, him in a timeout
or a commercial break
probably,
that you're saying the guy's name wrong. It's, you know, Holmgren. Yeah, got to the Twitter. Reggie was getting blasted for it. Like,
ridiculous.
Bro,
you sound silly doing that the whole game.
I tell you this. It's Jamal Crawford.
Yes.
I think that's been on the games with them.
Yeah.
Jamal won't take his spot.
Jamal's good. Jamal's very good.
Jamal doesn't make up words like Reggie does, ginormous and all that. Dude just sticks to basketball, and he is so cool. I like, and he'll get up and get excited, and that's what you want too. You want, you know, guys that are engaged and you hear their passion. Dude, he's coming in terms of an analyst and that play-by-play, next to your play-by-play guy.
Mm-hmm.
I love what he brings to the table. In fact, I was listening to him more during this series than I was to Reggie. But back to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, because he did turn his ankle at the end of the first quarter. Obviously, he was able to finish the game, but the good thing for them is they get to wait on Mavericks Clippers, which is 2-2 at this point, and that series wouldn't start until either Sunday or Tuesday
late
in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to have time for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you know, feeling any, if any after effects on that ankle, they're going to have time for him to rest it. So OKC's in pretty good shape. Mavericks or Clippers, do you think either one, you know, in terms of
tomorrow,
matchups, what's better for...
No, not
tomorrow's game, but in terms of whoever comes out of that series, who's a tougher matchup for OKC
for
in this instance.
I like OKC in either one of those because of the youth. I mean, they just seem like they're fearless. I like OKC, but I would say a better matchup would be the Mavericks because of the shooting. You know, you've got a killer out there in Luka. And you got Kyrie sitting there. So I would say the Mavericks. And they're a little healthier right now than the Clips.
Agreed, because of the status of one Kawhi Leonard. I don't know. I think the Mavericks, with the way that Kyrie and Luka are playing together right now, with the way now they're interested in playing defense, Jason, that's a credit
that's
to
fair.
Jason Kidd, that it's going to be tough for OKC. Hey, you used how young they are,
yeah,
and they do. They've got young legs and everything else.
But they just don't care.
They just
seem like they're not paying attention to that.
But there is such a thing as a higher level of playoff basketball and experience
fair.
In these moments. And so whether it's the Clippers or the Mavs, obviously Kyrie has won a championship. You know, there's more of that on that side. And so I'm looking forward to
OKC getting more
of a challenge than it did from that Pelicans team who's got – you know, they got some things to figure out with Brandon Ingram, the extension question. Do you just build around Zion, who, you know, yes, showed this year he could stay healthy through a regular season, but then in the playoffs you do not have him. So they've got some big questions there. Jonas Valanciunas is a free agent. Feels like with the way he was sort of, you know, in many of the, you know, playing and everything else, he's played off the floor. Now, he was relatively effective yesterday, but there seems to be so many more times than not, the game's too fast for him.
Yep.
Are you interested in him by any chance?
No.
I think we learned that
he clogs
the lane as opposed to the Steven Adams that frees up space by setting the screens for John and everything else. Jonas is asking for that ball down. It clogs. I think you were a better offense after you moved on. He is going to be a free agent, though, and available for somebody. But, yeah, last night I don't think any shockers in the other games. Again, you knew OKC was going to finish up that series. And like we said, Miami's just so shorthanded. I get that Spoelstra's frustrated, but there's just nothing you can do there. There was no run this year for them once they got, you found out about Jimmy Butler. So moving on in the case of OKC and for Boston, they got to win one more.
Yep. Two other additional late NBA news. Embiid missed the shoot-around. He's got a migraine situation. And then
he's going to play.
Stevens has been named, Brad Stevens from the Celtics, named the NBA Executive of the Year with the Celts. So those are the two other bullet points I just saw there.
Next story.
All right, so this is from Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian, and we had a lot of listeners out there, 92.9 presenting the Touchdown Club of Memphis event with Paul Feinbaum last night at the Hilton. The next one, by the way, if you're interested in these events, there's a portion of the proceeds goes to Le Bonner. We're partnering up with the Touchdown Club. Houston Nutt. Remember Houston Nutt, the old Ole Miss Arkansas coach? He's speaking Monday. That's at 5:30 at the Hilton, and you can go to the Touchdown Club of Memphis website if you want to support that cause and obviously see Houston on Monday. But back to last night, Drew Hill wrote about it in the Daily Memphian. The Commercial Appeal also touched on this, but there are two or three bullet points I took from Paul Feinbaum's speech last night at the Touchdown Club. The first one was something that he not only touched on it the last time he was at the Touchdown Club, but I first heard it on your show, Jason, when he was pretty out there against Ryan Silverfield and the job. He was not unlike this show, honestly, where we were about, we put it a year and a half, maybe mid-season last year before he sort of turned on the Jets and had a really nice ending of the season. So he had a full mea culpa. He said he told the media and the Touchdown Club members he was completely wrong about Ryan Silverfield. He might indeed be the best person to lead the Tigers. I was standing right there about Ryan Silverfield and having my doubts about the decision to retain him. There's such a thing in this industry as being completely wrong, and I was. I didn't see the turnaround and didn't see the enthusiasm and excitement that would be reattributed to the program. Do you agree with him?
I'm struggling with this one because I'm wondering how much of it is Paul
grandstanding in front of a bunch of folks in a Memphis event?
1,000%, and probably because he made his first, apparently, and I know Giannotto wrote about this over the Commercial Appeal too, when he got here, the first trip he made was over to Simmons Bank. And I'm imagining at some point you're seeing Ryan Silverfield, you're probably shaking his hand and congratulating him on 10 wins last year, being Iowa State in the Liberty Bowl. And so then you go to the Touchdown Club meeting, and you're probably, you're persuaded to say, and you may be convinced to say nice things about him. Again, when you're looking at a Group of Five team knocking off Iowa State, handling Iowa State in the Liberty Bowl, and finishing with 10 wins, just the fourth, fifth time in school program history, you look at that on the surface and you say, that's good. There's got to be a lot of excitement around that, right?
Yes.
But remember, too, that when he said that and it was their second straight 6-6 season, they were coming off an eighth-place finish in the conference. Last year, they did not finish top three.
No.
They finished fourth.
Right. The conference season did not go the way we wanted it to go.
And so, and expectations are ratcheted up because obviously SMU has left. Tulane's lost their quarterback and their coach. You've got Seth Hennigan back.
You're loaded up.
You're loaded up, and you should be the preseason favorite in the AAC. There's no question about it. Back to your question. Does he truly believe,
that this is the...
You have to credit Ryan Silverfield with turning around what had been a situation where the momentum had stopped. It had slowed. It was done. Two sixes and sixes. Now, you had folks around here, not just Paul Feinbaum, but a lot of us saying, questioning whether he was the right guy for the job.
Right.
So you have to credit Ryan Silverfield for where he's got it, for the way they fit it. But he's still got to win an American Athletic Conference title.
Yes.
I mean, there's no bones about it this year. You've got to get to the, not just get to the AAC championship game, but win it. If you're not going to do it this year, when are you going to do it? We're talking about a third, a seventh, an eighth, and a fourth place finish in the AAC over his first 4 years. And I know that Cotton Bowl, frankly, it's his only loss in a bowl game. He's 3-1 in bowl games, and that's one of the things that has helped him. I don't hold that one against him. I know
some fun with it at the beginning.
That's the way to put it. Obviously, Ryan Silverfield has since, proven that he can be a head coach at the Division I level.
It got Veach another job hiring him. Let me put it that way. Making him in his second contract. So the second contract has worked out for Ryan.
But I say all that to say that if Ryan Summerfield somehow comes up short this year, right, if you don't meet all that expectations, you'll be right back to where you were, 100%. Questioning whether you've got the right guy and then whether Memphis has got the money to move on from him.
Yes.
Yeah, we saw the same situation at Boise State with Avalos. They had won 10 games a year before. They fell on their face to start, and they moved
great
on.
Great example.
So that I'm just saying that to I want Ryan Summerfield to succeed. Okay. Yes, I've had questions about whether or not he's got it headed in the direction you need to be, particularly with this urgent moment in program history where you need to be the best thing outside in the group of five so that you can be in the college football playoff. But if Brad, if he didn't meet those expectations next year, you know, I think we'd be in the same boat.
I agree.
So I'm not ready. You know, while I'm encouraged by what I've seen from Ryan Summerfield, he's got it in the best spot he's had it since I'm not ready to do what Paul Feinbaum did yesterday and say we're completely wrong. Okay? You finished off the season great. The Iowa State game was a big win because it was the Liberty Bowl. You won. You moved to 3-1 in bowl wins. It's your 10th win. But let's be real. He did not win big in the American Athletic Conference.
Yes.
You have not won a conference title yet. So there is still more work to do. More work that has to be done at this time in that football program's history. And so I was a little bit, is Paul kind of buttering him up because he's here? Or does he really believe that? He went all out to say, listen, I there's things as such as being completely wrong, and I was completely wrong on him. Maybe he does truly believe that now, but I wondered if it was laced with a little bit of you're in town, you've probably shaken Ryan's hand, you're in front of a touchdown club that's got some Tiger boosters in there, I'm sure, and so you want to say nice things.
I think you can also be wrong, but not call him that he's the Jesus of your program. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's where I land. Like, I think I was wrong about Ryan being the wrong hire.
Well, his point was that they should have moved off from him after a second 6-6 season. I know he ended up 7-6 that year because you won the first
responder
bowl.
I was there with him on that too.
But I was saying it.
I said
Mark Giannotto was saying it, right?
Yes.
And I'm not ready, even though he had 10-3 and he's got it in great position, I'm not ready to say that was the wrong move, especially if he goes out there and falls on his face next year. I am not rooting for that. I'm not rooting
Nobody
for that
is.
At all. Frankly, again, I want this thing to be a springboard in terms of the program itself. I know others look at it, and they would argue directly against me. No, Jason, we want somebody that's going to see it as a destination job, that's going to stay here for a long time. That is not what you are sitting outside the power structure.
Right.
But what you can be is the springboard to go get those gigs. We talked about it with the football coach job, with obviously Fuente and Norvell doing
it. The AD job.
We talked about it with the AD job. It's the exact same thing. Where look what Laird Veach did. It was a springboard for him to come in here, and then bam, all of a sudden he's a sitting SEC athletic director. It's all about it. And you can be that, and it can be a good thing. Because what does it do? It deepens your candidate pool in terms of folks that would want this job. You're going to get the best talent. You're going to get the best fundraisers. Because, again, they see an opportunity here. So, again, I want to be all in on Ryan Summerfield.
Yes.
And he can go a long way, right, in getting us all on board this year if he accomplishes what the expectations should be. What were some of the other points
Two other bullet points. He talked about local teams and a coach that could withstand a season. Like, Ryan Silverfield's on a season where he needs to dominate the conference. Lane Kiffin's in a situation with Ole Miss where he could probably survive a down season, but he thinks Ole Miss is going to be a national title contender, and he thinks Mississippi State's going to struggle with Lebby to try to get his feet underneath of him there. The other thing he talked about, unless you have some comments on that, was the Big 12, and he said missing the Big 12 was a big whiff by the Big 12. He said now he thinks the ACC is a better fit for Memphis because of the basketball component. He says the ACC was out there grabbing schools to get a numbered away against a possible defection of Florida State and Clemson. He says because of the basketball fit and the athletic profile at Memphis, given the importance of basketball, that the ACC makes a lot of sense for Memphis in the future. What do you think of that?
I mean, you know, it's going to crumble at some point with Florida State, with Clemson, you know, wanting to get out of there. And so you just wonder how much of it's going to be left, you know, once this new, you know, round of realignment starts and Florida State eventually gets its way and gets out of there. What's going to be left in there? What I always come back to in that conversation, that discussion is, this is even if the Big Ten and SEC broke off and it's a power two.
Right.
Whatever's left of that ACC is still better than where you're at right now.
That's right.
Because frankly, let's be real, the AAC is hell right now.
Yes.
Because just like we talked about with Ryan, if he doesn't come out and run this thing, people are going to get down.
Yes.
You know, because the expectation is so high now. It's the same thing for Penny Hardaway in basketball. I mean, you're expected with this level of investment now from FedEx and everything else, you're expected to take over. I mean, that should be, that's, you know, that can be a double-edged sword. You're in position to take over, but those expectations, you don't meet them.
Yeah, you got NIL money and everything.
You only meet them halfway,
yeah.
Brother. Folks can get down on you real quick. Mm-hmm. And so I did like what he said about, listen, he's like a, you know, it's like a megaphone when you've got Paul Feinbaum saying good things about you. No, just in the sense that, you know, when Paul Feinbaum comments on Memphis and the CA goes and writes two stories about it, and the Daily Memphian writes a story about it, you know, that's a good thing.
Sure.
But for Memphis, it's good optically. He's saying nice things about you. There's no question. But, again, when it comes to whether it changes anything, it doesn't. As much as we love Paul Feinbaum to death, it's like 2 years ago when he said you should move on from Ryan Silverfield. That didn't pressure Laird Veach into feeling like he's got to make
a
move.
No.
So while I appreciate all the nice things said, both about the program and everything else, the work is still to be done for the next athletic director that's going to replace Laird Veach. I do appreciate Paul Feinbaum anytime we get to talk about him, though. This is home for him. The White Station graduate we mentioned, I think, went to Christian Brothers, too, for a short
transferred
time.
Transferred to CBHS. Before.
Yeah. But I think graduated from White Station. I think it's the other.
Yeah.
I think that's the way.
Then he went. Oh, he went the other way.
Yeah, CBHS to White Station. I think. It's one or the other, but I think I read that he graduated from White Station.
Oh, it's your alma mater.
Yeah. Good memory. He also weighed in on the fact he said that Arkansas and Memphis should be playing in basketball.
Yes.
He said the country wants to see it. Now, I'm not going to go that far with
Come on, Paul.
I'm not going to go that
Paul
far
Paul is
with
really
him.
Good at this stuff.
I would say the country wouldn't mind seeing, again, Tennessee versus Memphis.
Amen.
That's a bigger one. That's a state rivalry there. Arkansas-Memphis was good to us and was good to Fayetteville for those years in the 90s. I don't know how much the rest of the nation was clamoring for it, although you did back then have, you know, future NBA players and Ty Day and Penny Hardaway and those kinds of guys. So, but I don't know that the country is clamoring for it. Where he's right is that they should be playing. But, again, Paul Feinbaum, we love him, but Cal's not going to feel pressured to do it because Paul Feinbaum said it's just the
Jason,
way
refresh my memory on the Arkansas-Memphis games because it was back, we're talking 90s Metro Conference kind of vibes,
yeah, Cal,
if I recall.
Cal ended up ending it.
Was it, so in those days, though, in the 90s pre-Cal, was it Nolan Richardson and Finch across from each other coaching those games?
Nolan Richardson, yeah, and then you had John, I think, in one or two of them, and then would have been Larry Finch.
Larry Finch on the same. I mean, that at a pyramid game. Uh-huh. I wish I would have been at one of those games.
I'm trying to remember as you were saying that because you had the Johnny Jones and Tick Price in
that
between,
era.
Right?
Yeah.
And I don't remember whether or not we were playing Arkansas at that point or not. But that's and then you always had Nolan and Mike Anderson on the other side.
Yep.
And so it was, and again, we talked about how they'd always had, it felt like Memphis talent on that side. And you reminded me they're going to have it again. And Billy Richmond III.
That's right.
This time around, having now decommitted from Kentucky and gone and joined his coach, Coach Cal, up at Arkansas. So I did, again, back to Paul, I'm with him. We should be playing it, but I don't know that the country is clamoring for it.
Next story.
All right, some NFL news and notes. We touched on it. Travis Kelce got paid. Became the highest paid tight end over the next two seasons. He's got $17 million fully guaranteed on a two-year $34.25 million deal. Kelce's 34 years old, and last year he was 16 yards short of his what would have been his eighth straight 1,000-yard season.
Huh.
Yeah, seven straight 1,000-yard seasons is a record for tight ends, what he's sitting on right now. And remember, some of that, it was 93 receptions for 984 yards last year. We were saying it felt like he might have lost a step.
A little bit.
You know, in the regular season. And then we got to the playoffs, and he was an absolute stud. Mm-hmm. 30 came back, and he was just prime Travis Kelce, felt like 32 catches, 355 yards, and four touchdowns, and helping them win, you know, their second title in a row and third in five seasons. We mentioned he passed Jerry Rice for most receptions in the playoffs in history, most receptions in playoff history. Rice had been at 151, and you now got Kelce at 165. He's going to be adding to it for a couple of more years. We mentioned that if you see it on TMZ, he and Taylor Swift are just living.
They're loving each other. I looked it up during the break. They're lovey-dovey in Vegas at an award ceremony.
Kissy-kissy he is right now. Now he's able to.
All right.
It's like Eddie Murphy used to say when with his old he was talking about one of his former wives,
yes,
I guess.
When
she said, you know how everything, it's our money now. And Eddie's like, well, no, this is my money. And she's like, no, here's my 50 cents in a joint account. Like, this is our money. Here's to your $50 million. It's kind of what it feels like with Travis throwing
little millions.
His little $17 million into the joint account with Taylor Swift.
That's cute.
Millions and millions and millions. I got
his money, though.
I did not think that this would go on this long.
I didn't either.
Travis and Taylor.
How long do you think it's built to last, Jason?
I don't know if it's built to last, but, yeah. And remember, she will tear up a former boyfriend.
Heard that.
If he gets on the wrong side of her,
yeah.
Or he tries to make her, force her into something she don't want to do.
Heard that.
You understand what I'm saying? She's going to write a song about you, so he's got to be careful. My point is that they look like they're in love now.
Yeah.
I didn't think they looked like they were in love. I thought it was forced early on.
Yeah.
They do. Travis looks like he's in love now. I wish the best for him.
Yeah.
He's obviously paid, and again, if you are anti-Chiefs, and I just am in the sense that it's somebody else's time, namely the Chicago Bears, y'all need to sit down.
Oh, how dare you.
No, if you're anti-Chiefs, you hate this. You resent it. The fact that the Chiefs, I mean, they go out in the first round and get the fastest receiver in the at the combine and make a trade with the Bills who shouldn't be trading with them at all. Now they're able to go make Kelce the highest paid tight end the next 2 years, even though he's 36 years old. They also drafted a tight end, which looks like maybe his replacement of the future. Like they just get it done, whatever they want to do, and they seem like they're able to win. As long as they got Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Chris Jones, that's the foundation of that thing. Seems like they're always going to be a Super Bowl contender. But moving on, there's the Chiefs news. Brad, you mentioned this yesterday, but it's official. Looks like with Ezekiel Elliott, one-year deal that has a maximum value of $3 million, sources told ESPN yesterday. Yeah, Ezekiel Elliott going to be coming back to the Dallas Cowboys. It's a good thing for them because they lost Tony Pollard, obviously, the Titans, in free agency. They had signed, and I hadn't mentioned Royce Freeman. I talked about Rico Dowdle and Deuce Vaughn. They did sign Royce Freeman in free agency, but that ain't some needle mover at this point. So they needed something else, and they go back to an old friend in Ezekiel Elliott. I'm excited in the sense that he gets to go back home, get back with his best boy, Dak. They're like best friends.
Yeah, they're tight.
I don't know, again, if it's going to be a cure for Dallas. I think ultimately it's going to be about Dak putting him over the hump in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's in the end, it's that. That defense didn't perform like you wanted it to towards the end of the season, but Dak Prescott's the thing that's – who do we ultimately put these championships and everything else on? I mean, ultimately, it's on your starting quarterback. That's why you saw 6 taken in the first 12 picks this year of the NFL draft. And so while I have admired Dak and, he cut the turnovers down last year, he's been a regular season quarterback. You know, that's capable, that will put up MVP numbers, but for whatever reasons, and there's a multitude of them, just hasn't been able to get you over the hump in the playoffs. I don't know that he ever will, but he's got to walk through that door. And then finally, John, I don't know how he feels about this news, but it does involve his team. Speaking of Dallas, a former Cowboys receiver, Michael Gallup, signed a one-year deal with John's Raiders for up to $3 million, according to Adam Schefter and Jeremy Fowler. They've now got Davante Adams, Jacoby, who's a beast, has at least 100 catches in 5 of the past 6 seasons. Jacoby Myers, who John was crying about last week, telling me, no, he's better than you think. Mm-hmm. He did have a career-high 8 touchdowns last season, and now you're adding Michael Gallup to the mix. That's a nice little...
He's still got some... He may not be right yet. I mean, he said he's made a big leap from last year.
The ACL, right?
Yeah.
He tore his left knee late in 2021. Has he ever been right?
I don't know
then?
If he's going to be right. The jury is still out on Gallup. So I know Michael Gallup is a huge, sexy name, and a lot of people had him on their fantasy teams. But trust me when I tell you this, as a Cowboys watcher, that it's dicey.
You've had him on some of your fantasy teams, too.
I have, yeah. He was good until he was not, and he was out.
After the injury, Gallup caught 73 passes for 842 yards, 6 touchdowns, but did not record a 100-yard game in the regular season 2022-23.
Yeah.
So it does seem like he's lost a little something. He'll be the Raiders 3, though.
Okay.
And so Minshew, in this case, or it's Aiden O'Connell, whoever they're rolling with, has got a pretty,
they got weapons.
A pretty decent receiving crew. No question about that. But
new tight end, yep.
That's what I've got for NFL news and notes for the time being. And I can't wait to get home and read the Caleb Williams front page story on ESPN.com.
I did, by the way, while at the very end of your story, I did look up the Jalen Williams piece from the NBA post game.
You've seen what he's wearing now.
Saw what he's wearing.
It doesn't make any
sense.
Before
we get to the next rundown story.
But I think he seems like a guy who's craving the attention.
What they're calling it on social media is a Queen Elizabeth Shiesty.
What is that?
it's because it's a bedazzled hoodie that's tight around the face.
So right, you can only see his eyes and his mouth once he tightens it up.
You look like Queen Elizabeth with the bedazzle around
the
circle.
It looks like a hoodie when you pull it over and
yes.
you pull the strings.
And you just have a little hole in the
you just have a little hole in the front.
And it's like bedazzled like Queen Elizabeth style around
the
circle. It is, I've never seen one, but it's an interesting, it looks like those shiesties you wear in baseball when it's cold outside, only with like Queen Elizabeth beads around it.
It was Kuzma a while back that was doing some real stupid stuff, looking like the Michelin Man, walking up in there with some of those outfits he had on. It seems like Jalen Williams has sort of picked up where he's left off, trying to wear the wildest thing you can so that you got Charles.
Maybe he's got too much money now. Like sometimes when you get too much money, you start stepping out a little bit too much.
He seems like a different kind of cat.
he does.
But it's as wild as we've seen in terms of an NBA wardrobe.
Yep.
Next story.
I have one more here, Jason, and we talked about this off the air. It was tweeted out from Vanderbilt this morning that former MUS standout Maurice Hampton, class of 2019, MUS, is transferring to Vanderbilt. Safety Maurice Hampton, a two-sport athlete, you might recall, and the big headline on this we had him on your show, Jason and John, Maurice Hampton, his father, and they are awesome. And they were very defiant in what their plan was. Their plan was a certain number. I think the number might have been $2 million. He got over $1.5 million offered. Reportedly, for a signing bonus to go to the MLB draft. And they declined that, and they said, we're going to LSU as a two-sport athlete.
And what would have been.
And you wonder what that would have been. He actually went from LSU after playing for the Tigers. He had 25 tackles, 15 games in 21. He went to Samford.
Got a ring, too, I think, a national championship ring.
Got a ring on that LSU team. And then he played baseball solely at Samford. Played pretty well, 233, 9 home runs, 17 stolen bases. Then you remember before last year, he transferred to Memphis. He was saying he was going to play both sports at Memphis. Didn't play football due to injury and then sat out here. He intends on playing. Oh, it is not clear if he'll play baseball. He's going to play football at Vanderbilt. So this looks like just a football-only commitment to Vanderbilt.
I wish it worked out for Hampton here.
Yeah, I do too.
I really do.
I was praying for him when he made that bold decision.
I'm sure, I always say God's got a plan, and what happens is supposed to happen. But you do wonder, what would have, if you go that MLB route directly.
Yeah,
what that looks like for him now. What would have amount? You know, that path.
Where does that go?
Football's. I don't know how much of his injuries were done and undergone in baseball, and how much of a football. I know that you're playing both. That body's getting beat up.
It's tough,
and you just wonder how beat up would it be if you had gone the Major League Baseball route initially, right?
Yes.
Probably
go to the minor leagues. You probably go to A ball or your rookie.
Now there's
ball
always the chance you go there and you struggle and you could flail out there as well.
That's right.
But you are paid up front.
You have this cash bonus.
You are
that you're paid
up front.
Yeah.
No question. You can always go back to school, get your
That's
education
right.
later. So I just I hope he finds peace. I hope he's
I
happy. I hope he gets to play. You know, because again, you only got so much college eligibility left. But he was fantastic coming out of MUS, wasn't it? It was
amazing.
MUS.
At both. Yeah,
absolute stud.
How many people could say, I want to go to LSU and play both
sports?
So
I just hope that in his final year, man, he gets to have some fun again like a kid and just be out there and play. You don't have to worry so much about the injury. You've got opportunity there and everything else. I got one more.
Okay, let me hit this.
Next story.
See what the L.A. mayor did after the Lakers lost last night?
I did not see this.
She tried to find, as TMZ puts it, the silver lining. Remember, it was LeBron's earliest exit from the playoffs, so nobody wants to hear any silver linings when it comes to the Lakers.
Uh-huh.
She got on Twitter, and she, on X now, and she put, this is real.
All
this
right.
is real. And
what
it was she literally took it. She had to take it down. There was so much backlash. This is what she tweeted. Tough season, but at least we won the in-season tournament. Proud of our team at Lakers.
No!
That's the mayor of
we
LA.
We always said this was going to come by to bite them in the ass.
Karen Bass. She's the mayor of LA.
Bass.
She's going to lose votes next time around because of this statement. She got
flamed.
What you would think. Killed on social media for this. Again, tough season, but at least we won the in-season tournament. Proud of our team at Lakers. That's a fake title.
They put that in the rafters, though. That's a fact.
Well, I mean, LeBron poured champagne on, put the goggles on and poured champagne,
didn't
he?
Ridiculous. Yes. They were in Vegas partying.
So she took it down because she got so much backlash, and she went for a second attempt and said, you left it all on the floor. Thank you, Ad Lakers. This is a real
story
about the L.A. mayor. This poor woman, Karen Bass, just trying to
Let me ask you this, though.
She sounds like a woman who tries to find the silver lining in bad things.
All right.
Listen, I try to do that sometimes.
Yes, you do. You're good at this. This is a positive
angle,
for you.
But she absolutely blew it here, and she may have ruined her
next
future
mayoral
as mayor
race
in L.A.
Let me just try to – I'm not going to defend Karen because this is kind of indefensible, but I will say your average basketball fan – I'm not talking about me and you who have a sports radio show, or I'm talking about maybe my wife, who has to occasionally go for her job at Cigna and go to the FedEx Forum and watch game. And do you think that those people don't realize how insignificant that the in-season tournament?
They all do. The Lakers won, 18 championships, whatever it is. That's what they're still LA's team. The Clippers are not. Like, what are we talking about
right
here? I just don't know how many fans like that there are out there. Something like this, they're all going to look
that are getting clowned.
Everybody called that in-season tournament a fake title.
Yeah. And especially people were watching it, though.
We watched it, but especially with the way that LeBron celebrated afterwards, the raising of it to the
that was ridiculous.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it
is an absolute joke. I mean, this is just a few extra games so the NBA can make some money.
Yeah,
there's nothing real in that. Look at the Lakers getting dispatched in the
fake
first round
title.
You know, getting dispatched in the first round 4-1. Yeah. So she blew it with that one. I feel for her because there are times where I do try to find the silver lining as well, but she absolutely blew it with that one. We're going to take a break on the other side. We're going to put Brad Carson to work. We've moved the segment because he was so successful yesterday, going 2-1. It was his second winning night of the postseason.
Yeah.
We'll tell you what his record is now. And for listeners, we're going to hope that Brad Carson can pick some losers. Now, he just told you he's trying to pick winners.
And I'm trying to have integrity.
This is a man of integrity. He's now 12-20.
Oh, is that the
on
record?
On the postseason.
Okay, 12-20.
Again, you went 2-1 yesterday, so that thing's improving. You were 9 games under. Now you're only 8 games under. With a larger sample size, so you're on the you're 2-1, 4-4. You're 6-5 in your last 11. That's too good for this segment.
It's too good.
You're gonna make us change it to tail, Brad Carson.
Still,
if you
8
stay
games
this hot.
Is a lot of room to grow here to get back to 500.
No question about it. We got 3 games tonight, so we'll play some fade Brad Carson when we get back. You listen, to Jason, John, 19.
Okay, picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
9FM ESPN. All right, before we get to Faye Brad Carson, got 3 games on the slate tonight. There appears to be a little bit of breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
I would say so. When it comes to the University of Memphis basketball beat, we had wondered whether or when, really was the question, we might see some shakeups with the assistant coaching staff. Now, we know that Rick Stansbury's in it to win it. Like, he's helping with Memphis's NIL, you know, at the forefront of that, and in terms of bringing in these transfers, Rick Stansbury, who went 3-0, if I'm not mistaken, by the way, in place of Penny Hardaway during that 3-game suspension to start the year, he'll be back. We figured that. It was the other two, Borman and Faraji, who we wondered about, and according to Leon Taylor, who you alerted me to, I think has had this first. Former Tiger.
I'm seeing a timestamp from 34 minutes ago from Doc. So he and Doc are.
Doc Holliday had it first then.
Looks like Doc was 34 minutes ago if we're doing the timing.
So Doc and Leon both reporting then that former Tiger Andre Turner will be added to the Memphis Tigers roster as an assistant coach. I didn't see Doc's initial report.
I just saw Doc's here.
Did he say at all who was being replaced? I know that Leon did not. Ultimately, it leads
his
you to that question.
His is a little video, so.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Doc always getting that off-season news.
Yes.
He did it last off-season as well. Remember, we had talked about the possibility with DeAndre Williams, and it was Doc who made that official last year when they were trying to get that waiver for DeAndre Williams. He got DeAndre Williams' statement and everything else and made what had been rumors and sort of talk, some of it that started right here on this show, made that all official last year that Memphis was trying to get that. He gets that news around now. How about that? The little general coming back to be an assistant coach. I'm assuming, again, since we're hearing it now from two credible
sources there.
That Andre Turner, who has spent the last three seasons, I want to say at Lane, he was hired in 2021, who has spent the last season, three seasons as Lane's head coach, had been the former Mitchell High head coach, state title-winning head coach there, just program hero for Memphis, obviously, back in the mid-'80s, 82 to 86. Little general, man, game-winning shots. A guy who you saw develop over his time at Memphis. They called him Andre Turnover, you know, to start his career. By the end of it, dude, you were absolutely in love. And I just remember as a little kid, you know, watching Andre Turner is what made me fall in love with Memphis State basketball, to be honest with you. I mean, he was the short guy, you know, something I could relate to as a little kid, and just seemed to have everything under control, man. And so he's done that, too, as a head coach, and risen now, both in, obviously through the high school ranks, and now having been at Lane the last three seasons, it immediately leads me to wonder out loud, okay, which guys he replaced. Is it Andy Borman? Is it Faraji Phillips? I think, you know, it sounded like Penny Hardaway was going to do everything he could to help those guys, one or two of them, help them find opportunities, not do so much of a, I'm firing you. Can you move on? You know what I mean? And in this instance, if you're adding an assistant, you can only have three of those full-time official assistants. Sounds like Andre Turner will be replacing one of them. So great news in terms of you're bringing one of your own home. And again, in this instance, he has been a college head coach at Lane. In terms of recruiting, that kind of thing, I mean, I don't know that Andre Turner is getting you anybody. This is just being real. Love Andre Turner to death.
Sure.
But I'm going to keep it real. I don't know that he's getting you anybody that Penny Hardaway can't. In fact, I know that that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Penny Hardaway is going to be the guy, again, if you're going to get a Memphis-based coach who's in with recruiting ties here. Well, Penny's got those.
Well, don't you think, though, and to Andre's
credit. So what it's got to be bringing to the table is X's and O's or something like that, because, again, I wouldn't look at this as a situation where I'm sending Andre Turner out to recruit nationally for me.
No.
He just doesn't have that kind of pull.
But what if you're going to have to fill out a roster, so you have to fill those out with quality basketball players, I take it, and some of them not NIL dudes. So I would take it that Andre might be qualified for something like that, coming from a little bit of a lower level.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lower level, though. And you ain't checking for anybody that Andre Turner was able to get over at Lane, you know, to come fill the holes here. Again, that it's just my question in terms of how the staff is set up, right? I always look at it as your assistants can help you in the sense that they can be strong in areas where you are weak as a head coach. So if I don't have recruiting ties in this area of the country, this guy is bringing that. Or if I'm not really an X's and O's guy, John Robick for Cal up at Kentucky, here's my X's and O's guy. And I'm just looking at, you know, if you're bringing Andre Turner as one of the three assistants, what's the strength that he's bringing? Or is it just more of familiarity? Penny loves having guys around him who love him.
Right.
And Andre Turner is certainly going to be one of those. Now, of course, Penny Hardaway came up, obviously, probably it's kind of the same as me, where you looked up to Andre Turner, but now you're in an opportunity to hire him. I love that a program hero is coming home. I do have just the obvious question of, okay, what's he bring to the table? Yes, head coaching experience. Is Andre a guy who is going to amaze you with the X's and O's? I haven't watched a ton of Lane basketball. What I do know, what I did watch, and this was high school, but again, Penny Hardaway was a high school coach before he got the Memphis job. He was a hell of a coach at Mitchell, and if I'm not mistaken, had Jeremiah Martin over there. They were winning state titles. Just got everything out of those Mitchell teams, which weren't overly talented with like a bunch of Division I talent, even though Jeremiah Martin obviously had a great career. But just he would get so much out of them in terms of hustle, grit, everything else. He just maximized the talent that they had. So I know he can do that. There's no question about it. I just wonder what else we're bringing to the table with the hiring of Andre Turner. But very familiar with his career. Can't wait to shake his hand, really, because I got to imagine this is a dream for him to be able to come back to the program that he played for, that I'm sure you obviously played for Larry Finch, grew up rooting for, everything else. He's getting a chance to come back and be a part of the Blue and Gray. And that's got to be a great deal for Andre Turner. So Doc Holliday and Leon Taylor with the news there. Do not know yet who he's replacing, if indeed this is the full-time assistant job, but it's got to be either one of Andy Borman or Faraji Phillips. Now, moving on to what we had planned originally for this segment, it's Fade Brad Carson time. Let's do it.
Your love is fade, baby, baby.
Now, it's Jason and John's producer Brad sucks at sports gambling segment.
Brad, you suck at this.
My man Carson is the worst gambler I've ever heard, bro.
It's time to Fade Brad. Fade Brad on 92.9.
All right, review real quick. Three games last night. Brad went 2-1, like we said, just a second winning night of the playoffs. A quick review reveals that he hit on Boston, who was minus 10.5, and the Pelicans, who were minus 4.5. They obviously took care of business, both covered. Nuggets were minus 7. We came up a little short there, although they did obviously end that series. Jamal Murray with the game-winning shot. A 2-1 night runs Brad's now postseason record to 12-20. Okay, so if you are fading Brad, which is the idea here, thus the segment header, Fade Brad Carson, you are now 20-12 on the year. Now, you did come down a peg. You were 9 games above 500, now you're 8. That's still a 62.5% win clip. That's better than most experts do when they're trying to pick winners. So we're still operating here at a pretty high clip if you are fading Brad Carson. That said, he's been on a little bit of a roll here with the last, 11 picks?
Yes.
It is? Yeah, you were 4-4 and then 2-1, so you're 6-5 your last 11. You need to slow down. Now, here's the deal, y'all, because Brad's in a tough position here. He ain't out to pick losers, right?
There's no integrity to just doing that.
He is picking what he truly believes.
And you got the line, so there's a lot of factors
now,
there.
Now, we know he's not a great bettor.
That's fair.
Now, I'm holding up mine, but you're worse than me. It's been proven you're worse than me.
The worst in this room always.
Right. We know he's not a great bettor. That said here,
terrible.
Integrity must be at hand. So he's trying to pick winners. He's often picking losers. He's been hot of late. Remember, the idea is to fade him and then not to parlay everything here.
Yeah, don't.
Because it's going to be a rare occasion where he goes 0-3. Okay, but you have pulled that off.
I've done that.
You have pulled that off. So we've got three
games
tonight.
And people bet it too, but we don't advise it.
Well, be responsible with it, but we don't advise the parlay betting.
Yes.
Yeah, we're telling you single bets here on these. All right, first one, 6 p.m. on TNT. Now, you told us that that Embiid missed the shoot-around with a migraine.
Yes.
He's dealing with that Bell's palsy issue.
Yep.
Banged up, obviously, with the knee and everything else. Knicks tonight, I've got, when I last looked, you may have a different number, FanDuel had minus 4. Is that what you've got?
I had minus 4, minus 4.5. It doesn't matter. I'll take either one of those. I'm looking at the really, really deep-looking ESPN analytics that you see right on the main page, and it does have a 54% win percentage for the Knicks tonight. The Embiid thing is interesting, although I didn't research this in depth. They still have Tyrese Maxey. You know, they have a lot of pride. You got Harris over there.
Overpaid tail.
Yeah, and this is a year we thought it was going to happen for him. It turns out they need Embiid to be 100%, and he is clearly not.
The only game they won, he scored 50.
I know. And their pieces have not performed probably like they would like them to,
100%.
Including pieces that have been sent from Memphis. So with all that said, I think the Knicks, they close this out, leading 3-1, whether it's 4, 4.5. I'm going with the Knicks minus 4.
Brad is going Knicks minus 4. He's sticking with favorites. You did that yesterday.
That might be a theme again today.
But
I didn't do that on purpose.
This is integrity talking about here. He is picking what he truly believes.
And they have to cover. It's a closeout game. So we saw this with the Lakers. You don't necessarily always cover it, even if you pick the team.
All right, a series that is tied 2-2, although I don't know how much attention America is paying to it. Magic and Cavaliers. I've got Cavaliers minus 5 over at FanDuel.
Okay, I like that. I'll take the 5 points.
It's like you just heard the line almost. It's like almost like you haven't looked at that line at all.
I didn't have the current line in front of me, actually. Okay. But I was going with the Cavs. Forget the line. I do want you got to cover the 5 points. So I'm rolling with the Cavs to go up 3-2 in this series against the Magic. And this is one I haven't paid as much attention to as well, being in the East.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, nobody here in Memphis, I think, other than Mike Miller, because he represents Paolo Banchero, is watching this. I wanted to get the The it's five. Yeah, it's five still at
okay,
FanDuel
so,
right now.
All right, I'll go with Cavs minus five. We'll go with it.
You are becoming a favorites, man.
Now, this
and
is that, not.
And that's what's got you hot. No, we're just talking. We're just speaking towards
trends. Bets. Integrity
we're
bets
just
here.
Speaking to trends.
Well,
and we're noticing that you're taking the favorites here of late.
And I lost the Magic bet. Before the Magic, they got this thing tied up at 2-2. I was always saying that the Cavaliers are a better team. So, and I still think Cleveland will win the series.
No, I mean, they're back home. There's a good chance they roll tonight. So far, Brad, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm feeling winners.
This is not good for the bit.
Well, we can always flip it to a tail, Brad Carson, if you just get super hot.
I'll tell you what.
If you just hit warp speed here on winners.
I get to readdress the segment if I get on the winning side here.
Yeah, maybe you need to do an open that's a tail, Brad Carson, as well, that we can flip. In the cases that you get, you know, meteorically.
We got to get on a heater, though, to get there.
Yeah, you're going to have to get on a heater to change the tail, Brad Carson, get people to believe that you're absolutely rolling. All right, final one, 8:30. We've talked about how injuries have just, you know, changed this series, no question. It's on TNT. You got Pacers and Bucks. Let me see what the actual, because I've got my FanDuel
spread on this
pulled
one.
Up right
I had
now.
Minus the, four and
the,
a half.
The two. The second number is Pacers minus four. Pacers minus four.
Pacers minus four.
That's over at FanDuel. They're on the road tonight, but Shams has said that. I don't know that they put out an injury report. They had not done it right before the start of our show. The fans were talking about, y'all are going to make us hold out. But Shams has pointed out, Giannis just started running over the weekend, and then Dame Lillard is in a walking boot. So there's a lot of pessimism in terms of whether or not they'll play tonight. I'm not expecting them to play. And so I think that the line reflects that in terms of the Pacers being the favorite on the road here at minus four.
If they don't have Lillard, they are screwed.
I mean, he was in a boot, so I don't. You know, I think it's done. And frankly, it gives them the narrative and Doc the narrative of being able to say, we were injury ravaged at the end of the season. We're going to, you know, I come in midseason, whatever it was, to that point. We're going to run it back next year.
Yeah.
You know, with it, you know, healthy squad. We'll try this again next year. That's the thing about sitting them both out and just sort of taking this L, as you can sort of roll with that narrative. But anyway, as we said, Pacers minus four seems to reflect the fact that Vegas is thinking that no Giannis.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.